Thanks for joining us. This is the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. We put out weekly messages from Pastor Dom to leave you encouraged and inspired. Check it out.
Okay, so I got a lot of ground to cover, and we're ready. We have clearance for takeoff. So we got to get rolling here. And you're going to feel like you're in a Concorde because I'm going to go fast. I want to try to get everything covered in this one sermon here. But we are in Hearing God, part 3. If you remember last week, we kind of closed with this is where we're going this week. And we're talking about discerning the voice of God. What a privilege and what an honor that you and I have that we can go to our Father directly and speak to him. But what an honor it is that he speaks to us as well. And sometimes we just miss out on that. So our teaching's really been is it God's voice that we're hearing? How to hear God's voice? So today we're talking about, is it God's voice? Is it the devil's voice? Is it the world's voice? Or is it just our voice that we hear within ourselves as guiding and directing us? And then I want to hit into when God says no. We ask God for something, and sometimes we just don't get the answer that we want. So here's what I'm asking you. We're going to explore the Bible here. We're going to get some insight from the Word of God. And I need to say this in a nice, polite way. Stay in the game. Stay in the game here. Incline your ears because we're going to cover so much ground. And some of this stuff you're going to have to figure out as well because I'm going to do quite a bit of reading. But my point really is, as we get started, is notice the characteristics of God. Notice the characteristics of the devil. Notice the characteristics of ourself as we go through these different accounts. Notice the things that maybe it's not in the Word. You'll know what I'm saying here. You can figure out, God gives us enough information in Scripture that we can kind of continue to build on it. So knowing the characteristics of God, knowing the characteristics of the devil. You know, I know most of us have probably heard this before, but they say anyway, bank tellers, they're taught how to recognize the real thing. They're not taught how to recognize the counterfeit because there's hundreds of counterfeit ways of counterfeiting money. I think we all know that. But when you really understand and learn the real $100 bill or whatever, you know, hey, something's not right about this dollar bill because I know the right bill. So it's important that we understand God, but we got to know the devil as well. Now, I want to take an account out of, first of all, Matthew chapter 4. Like I said, there's a lot here and there's a lot of reading here. But you're going to see some things, I believe, that will help us discern, are we hearing from God or is it the devil? Or are we hearing from ourselves? And understand something here. I want to be real clear. The devil doesn't get into your mind unless you open up the door and let him in. The devil doesn't know what you're thinking unless you allow him to know what you're thinking. He knows our actions. He knows what we like to do and what we shouldn't do and things like that. So try to keep that in mind as we go. But we're going to start out here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And this is where Jesus was tempted by Satan. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. I want to stop for a minute. There's something here if you didn't see what took place. After the fast, if you've done any fasting, you know you're worn out physically, mentally, you're emotionally worn out a lot of times. And in life, you get emotionally worn out from situations and things like that. Take notice, this is when the enemy attacked Jesus at the lowest point in one sense. And here's what he said. Now, when the tempter came, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He's offered him something that he really wants. You know, he's playing, the devil's playing this game here. He knows he's hungry. He's waiting until he gets to a certain point, and then he's offering him something that he wants. Remember, this is the work of the evil one. This is the work of the devil here. This is the way he plays. But notice how Jesus responds. But he answered and said, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, Jesus is quoting scriptures, Deuteronomy. He's quoting the word of God. We can use that as a tool when we feel like we're being tempted, when things are going against us. Use the word of God. This was one of the key points in hearing God. One of them was you have to be saved. The other one is you have to be reading your Bible. And when you get the word of God in you, then you can combat the works of the enemy. Verse 5, then Jesus took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. We see here that Jesus is bringing this word if in here, kind of in a sense like attacking who he is. Do you really think you are the Son of God? And if you really think you are, let me give you some scriptures here. The devil's quoting some scriptures here, just showing you the way the devil works. Jesus said, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8 starts out with this word again. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Interesting there. Did you pick up anything there? Then Jesus says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The devil still comes back to Jesus. I think we all know that. We all know the story there. He's going to continue to come back. But here's the point. He'll keep beating you. He'll keep beating you up. He'll keep questioning who you are and what you are and things of that nature. And we even see here that he gave Jesus this temptation, if you will. Hey, if you really are, I'll give you everything you see here. This will be yours. Oh, man, this is what I want, you know? But Jesus was saying, no, it doesn't work that way. Now, understand what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get a point here of knowing, recognizing the work of the devil, the what things he says, and recognizing God, and then recognizing who we are. So now I want to go to Genesis 3. Still some more reading, but we're getting through it. Now look at the work of the devil. Look at the work of God. Look at the work of Adam and Eve. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. I want to stop for a minute. This is a bonus here. When this word says cunning, okay, it's important to understand what this word cunning means, because it dresses it dressed the devil in a way that sometimes we miss out on. We know the devil is a tempter. We know that he brought in sickness and disease. We know he brings train wrecks into our lives and marriages and stuff like that. We know that. But when it says this word cunning, it's pretty interesting because it means crafty, it means shrewd. But here's like a definition of it. Having skill in achieving one's end by deceit. Okay, see that? To me, this could be more dangerous than the obvious stuff we know about the devil. He's cunning. I'm going to say this again. He has the skill in achieving one's end by deceit. So he's making something pretty. He's putting a temptation out there. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Okay, now look what the devil's doing. He's throwing doubt. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He's throwing this out there. For God knows that in that day you shall eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay, do you see the twist that's taken place here? No, God really didn't say that. No, God said it. And many people will use the word of God and they'll twist it. And they'll always twist it for their benefit. It makes them feel good. Verse 6. So when the woman saw, now look, now we're seeing the other voice taking place. It's like the woman, the voice of the person. Now when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her. That word with is a big one there. And he ate. But take notice what happened here. She looked at this and it was desirable to her. It was pleasant to the eyes. It makes one wise. See, this is the way humans think. Well, this looks good to me. I want this. It's good for me. I'm enjoying it. It makes me smart. It's about me. It's a self-centered type of voice. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Something happened when they made a horrible decision. Verse 9, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. This is what sin does. You begin to hide. You begin to run away from God. I see that so often just in the church. People feel uncomfortable in the church because they're dealing in sin, and they want to stay away. It's not God, it's the person. Because look here, look what takes place here. Then the Lord called Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now we see here, even though they sinned, God went to them. God looked for, now God knew where they were at. And God does this to us all the time as well. He knows why we do things, but he may question us just so it comes out of our heart and we know to realize really what's deep down inside of our heart. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? I need to stop here again. Adam and Eve did something that God told them not to do. Okay, this is really an important point here because we think that, you know, everything happens because God wants it to happen a certain way. Well, we can see here, God gave them a command not to eat of the fruit of the tree, not to eat. It was a command. He wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't like, I think it's a good idea. He said, no, don't eat from it. But they choose to do it. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. The blame game. Okay, the blame game. We all know that. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? Then the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So I don't know. I hope you stayed in the game there. I hope you inclined your ear to what the word of God was saying right there, what we were picking out. We were picking out God's word, the devil's word, and our own selfish desires. See, we need to know these things apart. We need to know, is this a selfish thing that I just want? Do I just want this? We were talking about, you know, seeing signs and signs that we want to see, and we can see these signs. You know, I use the example of, you know, you want a puppy and you see in the cloud there's a puppy, you know, and make the puppy figure in the cloud. And all of a sudden, that's your reason to get a puppy. But the point really is that that's not necessarily what God says. So we have to be careful. We got to be discerning of what we're hearing from God. We notice selfish desire in this reading. We notice chaos took place. We notice fear took place. We notice shame came in. And we know the blame game came in. And I want to say something. It was the person's fault. The devil was doing what he does. That's all to it. He was just doing what he does. Let me tell you some more characteristics of the devil, because it's important to know our enemy. The devil does not want us to hear the word of God. He will do everything he can to put a roadblock at it. Many people don't go to church because they don't want to hear and they got other things to do. The devil's happy with that. But why does the devil want us not to hear the word? I'll tell you why. In Romans 10:17 says it real simple. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Man, if the devil can block that out in your life, or I should say, if you allow him to, you're not going to hear, you're not going to get faith. You're not going to grow in the Lord, because he put a roadblock, and that's an intentional roadblock. When we hear from God, here's what God brings us. He brings us peace. 1 Corinthians 14 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You hear something, if it's coming from God, it's going to give you peace. It's not going to give you turmoil. It's not going to get you in a way that I don't know what to do here. He's going to give you peace. This is as you continue to stay connected with God. God's voice will never lead you to sin. The devil's voice will always lead you to sin. It's that plain, that simple. So when you have a decision or you're hearing something, what is the outcome? What's it going to lead? Is it going to lead to destruction or something else in a situation? Or is it going to bring peace? If it's going to bring, if you're hearing a voice and it's about peace, it'll be from God. God's voice won't bring you fear. If you think you're not sure who you're hearing, and if it's bringing you fear, it's not God. 2 Timothy says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Man, if you just look at this for a little bit here, look what God gives us. He gives us power and he gives us a sound mind. If you're confused, you're dealing with these different things in life mentally, man, realize that God gives us a sound mind. He's given you a sound mind. Philippians says this, and we talked about this last week. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, we talked about that was a sign, right? If you're dealing with anxiety, the sign is you ain't praying. But then he goes on and says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, God gives us peace. Peace, real peace can only come from God, even in a storm, even through turmoil of a life, whatever it may be. God doesn't condemn us. He's for us. He's on your side. He went after Adam and Eve. When they ran from him, he went after them. John 3:17 says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if you're feeling condemned, let me tell you something. It's not from God. God may give you a holy conviction. Let me put it to you that way. Maybe a shakening and awakening. But let me tell you something. You have some skeletons in your closet, and if you are saved, you're a new creation. Old things have passed. So if it's coming back up again, the influence of the evil one is influencing you, because the devil will condemn you, and he loves that. And I'll say this here. The closer that you get to God, the easier it is to define the voices that you're hearing. Now, I want to be clear again, and I know I said this before, is that the devil can't get into your head unless you allow him into your head. Let me give you some examples here, okay? All right, I'm going to step out on a limb here. We're coming to an occultic, satanic holiday, okay? That's just, you know, where I'm going with this. Now, if we open ourselves up to monsters, evil, occultic things, you have just opened up yourself to the work of the enemy, which is demons, demonic forces. I know I said this last week. There's only one devil, but we're talking about demons. The demons are the guys who work on us, who try to attack us. The demons are the ones who go after the Christians. If you're a Christian, he's going after you. But here's what I'm saying. If we open up to sin, okay, now we have opened up to evil influences. That's in our database. Let me put it to you that way. Then it's going all over our place in our process pattern. But if we're opening up to that, shame on you, Christian. Let me just be blunt. We shouldn't be opening up to things like that. And it could be TV, it could be internet, it could be all this stuff, but you're exposing yourself to the work of the enemy. Now, let me get back on track here. The closer we get to God, the easier it is to define him. Now, here's what's really cool. And I'm speaking to people who made Jesus Christ Lord of their lives. People that said, God, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me my sins and come into my heart. When you do that, you become a real Christian, not just by name, but you become saved, born again, as Jesus says. He says you must be born again. So I'm speaking to all of us who are born again. John 10, 27 says this, my sheep hear my voice. So when you get saved, you become a sheep. Jesus is your shepherd. So he doesn't say in this verse that my sheep will maybe hear my voice or my sheep should hear my voice. He's saying my sheep, you, me, will hear his voice. What a great privilege and benefit that we have from God. I mean, it's an incredible benefit that we can talk to God and then he talks back to us. But I think the thing is that we're talking here, the topic is hearing God, hearing the voice of God. And okay, he's speaking, but how come I'm not hearing him? How come I'm not hearing him? And I'm hoping that through these past couple weeks, we're beginning to apply ourselves to hear God's word, kind of getting the noise out of the way and listen up. But here's some pointers here. We have to position ourselves to hear God speak. We have to create the atmosphere to hear God speak. We got to focus in on God to hear him speak. Now, I know there's other ways that God speaks to us and he shakes and wakes us and things like that. But what I'm saying is sometimes we got to make it happen. Scripture says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Let me share something with you. I come in here in the mornings during the week and I have my prayer time. Like every morning when I'm coming to the end of my prayer time, I realize that I haven't given God time to answer. Right? I'm not the only guilty one. I'm praying. And then towards the end, I realize I haven't given God time to talk. And then I will sit myself down on one of these chairs and I'll just sit down, shut up, and listen. And I got to tell you, that's not easy. Your mind is going all over the place. Your thoughts are going all over the place. What am I going to do after finished prayer? I got this to do. I got this. I got all these different types of things I got to do. But it takes effort. It takes setting yourself up. It takes being still, hearing God's voice. We have so many voices out there that's drowning out God speaking to us. I got a lesson here from Jesus. and it's right on. It's when Jesus walks on the water. We all know that story in Mark 6. It starts out, or it kind of picks up here. Immediately, he made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he sent the multitude away. Look what Jesus did here. Okay, Jesus is pulling this one off here. He got rid of his apostles and said, guys, get out of here. He got rid of the multitude. He said, multitude, okay, it's time to go home. And then what does he do in verse 46? And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. That really hit me here because this is what we need to do. We need to get the distraction. And I'm saying this, if you're really serious about hearing God, I mean, if you're really serious about hearing God, where you think just coming here on Sunday morning during worship and the word, you're hearing God. Okay, hopefully you are. But if you really want to be sincere and serious about it, This is what you got to do. And then as you grow in the Lord, you kind of tap into him and you're hearing him and you're understanding him a little bit more. But one of the key points we see in John 4:24, it says this, God is spirit. And I know we talked about this, I think it was last week. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean, God is spirit? Well, we are spirit. That's what we're learning in our group. We are spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, the word of God, truth. It's a communication, in a sense, how we communicate with God. It's not necessarily, though it works this way, it's not me, my mouth, going to God's ear, or it's not me praying louder, God, can you hear me? You know, I want to speak louder so you can hear me, God. No, it's not about that. It's not even brain to brain, so to speak. It's the spirit, because God is spirit, and this is the way we talk to God. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells in you, and then you can talk to God, and God will talk back to you. But sometimes we got to get our head out of the way to be able to hear God's voice. Amen. I'm winding down here. We got clearance to land, but we still got the field still away a little bit. So let me kind of get into another point here, and I hope you got all this. I hope you were inclining your ear of the different voices and determining if it's God, if it's the devil, or if it's just my own selfish desires, or am I being influenced by the media, by TV, and everything else. This is another way, and there's other ways we hear these different voices. But when it comes down to honing in, it's all about my voice. Am I ears? Am I hearing from God, or am I hearing from the devil? And I'm making that choice. Now, how come sometimes we don't get prayers answered? Or we think we don't. Maybe we don't. Psalm 34 says it this way, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Man, that sounds for sure right there. It sounds like that word is saying that God is going to give me what I want in my heart. It's not saying that. It's not saying that. What it's saying is that God, and let me point this way. Pointing up is God, pointing down is us. Here's what it means. It's saying this. He, pointing up, he will put his word or his desire into your heart. He will make his desire become your desire. Did that make sense? Okay, let me share one quick personal story here. I know I'm going to keep moving here. We celebrated 20 years here back in July. I forget what day it was. Before the Lord spoke to me about starting the church, I'm going to be real honest. I wanted nothing to do with being a pastor. Nothing to do with being a pastor. I knew what pastoring was. I knew what leadership was and all that. And I knew all the stuff that comes with pastoring. I had no desire. And I didn't want to be a pastor. But when the Lord puts desire in your heart, it's a game changer. And then, excuse me. And then when Lisa found out the next morning, she was in on it. And that desire was put in her heart, I think. And then the boys, Dom, Nick, and Johnny, they were all in it as well. God put it in our heart as a family. I would say this, we didn't sign up for this type of job, but when God puts his desire into your heart, it's his will is being done. Does that make sense? James 4:3 says this, and I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It says, and even when you ask, you didn't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Hey, you know, we try to make an excuse. Yeah, well, doesn't God want me to be happy? Selfishness is what I'm saying, expecting God to give me what I want. Believe me, we're coming to the home stretch here. Isaiah 59, look what it says here. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore. Sin in our lives, Christian or non-Christian, is a distortion. Let's put it that way. It brings static in. And God is saying, you're not going to hear him if you're dealing in sin. We can't be playing games with sin. And everybody knows what I'm talking about there. Okay, I'm winding down here. Here's what I said. Position yourself to hear God. Create the atmosphere to hear God. Wherever you got to do, go in your own room, in your closet, bedroom. Get away from the static of life. Focus in. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. This is going to be, other than the word of God that you've been saying, this is probably going to be the most important thing you're going to hear me say. I want you to hear God's word this week. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. And you're going to hear it. I promise you're going to hear it. We've been doing these soap studies. This is a study you just do on your own at this point. Get scripture. And I'm going to tell you right now, read John 3. That whole chapter, not just John 3:16. Read the whole chapter. Now, you read that chapter. Listen to me, because God's going to speak to you in this. The observation. Soap, the observation. What took place in that chapter? What took place? You kind of think it through almost as if you're going to teach that chapter or you're going to explain that chapter. And then what's the application? How do I fit in all this that I just observed? All this that I read? How does it fit for me? I promise you, you do that, you will hear from God. All of a sudden, things will come to you, and it'll be from God, and I need to work in my life here, work in my that life. But I'm using John 3. I mean, you could use any chapter, but start out with something that's kind of familiar and pray. And I would say this, maybe even write it down. Maybe even journal it, what God has said, because he's going to speak to you. I promise you, he's going to speak to you. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, he's going to speak to you. And you're going to start realizing, okay, God, I see what you're saying here. And it's going to work. I promise you, it's going to work. So I challenge you to do that this week. Take one chapter. Read it. What's the application? What is taking place in this event, this account that took place in this one chapter? Think it through. Process it through. And then where do I fit in it? What's God showing me in this situation? And like I said, write it down and journal it. See, it's important to understand something. And I'm almost done. God created you and me. He created Adam and Eve to have fellowship with him. That was God's desire. Adam and Eve messed up and they went and ran off and hid thinking they can hide from God. That's a joke in itself. But God went after them. God created us. We were created by God and for God, the scripture says. God's voice will set you free. God's voice will not change, and God's voice will produce life. We can stand at this time in prayer team and take positions. Anyone who needs prayer, please go to either side here. The prayer team is serious about praying with you. Maybe you need ear cleaning. Maybe you're just not hearing God. You know, they might be able to help you and say, you need to work on this, you need to do this, whatever it may be. But we're serious about praying with you. Or you might say, you know what? I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm born again. Jesus says you must be born again. So you got to get it right. And if you get it right, then you begin your relationship with God. Amen. Father God, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for each person here. Lord, I pray for all of us this week to open our ears, to incline our ears, to hear what you have to say to us through your word. Guide and direct us, Lord. Father, I pray for a new beginning for some people to be able to have that revelation that you are speaking to them. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for being God, my Father, our Father. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the privilege and honor to be able to communicate with you. I thank you for this time. I pray blessings on each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. We hope you leave this feeling encouraged, inspired, and a little bit closer to God. If you like what you saw here, leave us a like, a comment. Don't forget to subscribe. If you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, you can send us an email at connect@perryhall.life.